By Sabrina Briggins, CMIP. Ports have traditionally measured performance through cargo volume, vessel calls, crane productivity, and infrastructure capacity. Those metrics matter, but they do not tell the full financial story. Revenue depends on movement. Every vessel call, gate transaction, crane lift, cargo release, and intermodal transfer supports revenue, customer commitments, and contractual performance. When that movement slows or stops, financial consequences can begin almost immediately, often before physical damage is identified or an insurance claim is filed. That is why port risk needs to be viewed through a broader lens. Some of the most consequential losses facing ports do not involve catastrophic damage to infrastructure. Congestion, equipment failure, cyber disruption, cargo theft, labor challenges, weather volatility and supply chain dependencies can interrupt cargo flow without creating a clearly insured physical loss. The consequences may include delayed revenue, higher operating costs, contractual penalties, customer concessions, and over time, cargo moving to a competing route or facility. There are five areas where cargo disruption becomes a direct financial risk. Risk 1. Cargo concentration magnifies the consequences of disruption. Modern cargo networks are designed for efficiency. Larger vessels, compressed delivery windows, centralized distribution models, and seasonal surges allow more cargo to move through fewer locations in less time. That efficiency also creates concentration. During peak periods, more cargo value, customer commitments, and revenue may depend on the same equipment, labor, systems, and transportation connections. A disruption that is manageable on an average day can become a significant financial event when it occurs during maximum cargo accumulation. Demurrage and detention may increase. Delivery commitments can be missed. Yard congestion can restrict additional movement. Customers begin absorbing costs, which may eventually become contractual or commercial disputes. Annual averages do not capture that exposure. Ports need to understand when and where cargo values are most concentrated and model disruption under peak conditions, not averages. Diversion arrangements, temporary storage, alternate transportation, and surge capacity plans should be established before congestion eliminates available options. The question is not simply, how much cargo do we handle? A better question is, how much revenue is exposed when the system is under the greatest pressure? Risk 2. Throughput disruption creates revenue loss before physical damage is measured. High-capacity cranes, automated gates, integrated terminal systems, and tightly coordinated labor have improved cargo velocity. They have also reduced the system's tolerance for failure. When a critical crane goes offline, a gate system becomes unavailable, or a labor or maintenance issue affects a key choke point, the disruption can spread quickly. Vessel schedules slip. Cargo accumulates. Truck and rail coordination becomes more difficult. Customer commitments come under pressure. Revenue may already be leaking even though no physical loss has been identified or quantified. Ports should know which equipment, systems, access points, and workflows drive the greatest share of throughput. Maintenance, operations, safety, technology, finance, and risk leaders should also understand which of those assets and processes are financially critical. Decision-making authority is equally important. When throughput begins to slow, who can divert cargo, resequence operations, restrict movement, or activate an alternative plan? In many disruptions, the problem is not the absence of a plan. It is uncertainty over who has the authority to implement it. That hesitation costs time. And time costs money. Risk 3. The largest financial impact may originate beyond the port. Ports operate as interconnected nodes in a much larger supply chain involving carriers, trucking companies, railroads, warehouses, utilities, tenants, customers, and government agencies. A disruption involving any one of those parties can prevent cargo from moving as planned. A rail interruption increases yard dwell time. A warehouse closure prevents containers from leaving the terminal. A utility outage restricts operations even when the port infrastructure remains intact. A carrier schedule change can create congestion or leave capacity unused. The port may not have caused the problem, but it can still experience the financial consequences. Demurrage, detention, congestion costs, customer penalties, and schedule disruption do not necessarily depend on where the original problem began. Ports should understand how much revenue is at risk for each day cargo flow is disrupted and coordinate continuity planning with the organizations they depend on most. Escalation thresholds should be established in advance so operational and commercial decisions can be made before congestion compounds. Ports cannot control every supply chain disruption. They can control how prepared they are to respond. Risk 4. Cyber events can stop physical cargo without damaging physical assets. Cargo movement increasingly depends on interconnected information technology and operational technology systems, including gate access, terminal management, billing, cargo release, equipment coordination, security, and yard visibility. A cyber event does not need to damage a crane, warehouse, or berth to stop cargo or revenue. A system outage can prevent trucks from entering or leaving. A cargo release problem can delay shipments. A billing disruption can affect cash flow. The loss of operational visibility may force a terminal to slow or suspend activity because continuing is no longer safe or secure. Cyber risk is therefore an operational and financial risk, not only an IT issue. IT, OT, operations, finance, and risk leaders should jointly identify which processes cannot function when a system goes down and what decisions follow. Manual workarounds are important, but a written procedure is not the same as a functioning contingency plan. Backup processes must be tested under realistic conditions when cargo volume is high, customers are calling, trucks are waiting, and employees are under pressure. If a workaround has never been tested in those conditions, its value is largely unproven. Risk 5. Restarting operations is not the same as protecting revenue. Business continuity plans often focus on one question. How quickly can we restart? That matters, but it is not enough. A port can technically reopen while operating at sharply reduced capacity. Cargo may still be accumulating, customers may still be diverting shipments, and contractual obligations may remain unmet. Restoring part of an operation does not mean the financial consequences have stopped. Even partial cargo flow can protect revenue, customer relationships, contractual performance, and the port's competitive position. Resilience planning should therefore connect directly to financial outcomes. Ports should test severe but realistic scenarios, determine how much cargo can continue to move, identify the customers and revenue streams most exposed, and quantify the operating capacity that can realistically be maintained. They should also test the decisions, not just the written plan. Who has authority to act? Which alternative workflows are viable? What equipment can be substituted? Who communicates with customers? Which outside organizations must respond for the plan to succeed? Instead of asking only, how quickly can we restart? Ports should also ask, how much flow can we preserve while the disruption is still unfolding? A better approach to cargo flow risk. Insurance remains an important component of a port's financial protection, but it is not a substitute for operational resilience. Different policies respond to different triggers. Property insurance generally addresses covered physical damage. Business interruption coverage may respond when that damage causes a covered loss of income, subject to policy terms, deductibles, waiting periods, limits, and exclusions. Contingent business interruption may address certain disruptions affecting dependent businesses, while cyber policies may respond to specified technology-related losses. Those coverages can be valuable, but none automatically preserves cargo movement, customer confidence, or long-term routing decisions. A disruption may not involve covered physical damage at all. Other losses may fall within a waiting period, exceed policy limits, result from an excluded cause, or arise from commercial consequences that were never intended to be insured. By the time a claim is submitted, the operational consequences may already be underway. Cargo may have been diverted, customers may be frustrated, and revenue may already be lost. Insurance should therefore be aligned with, not separated from, operations, technology, business continuity, and risk management. The most resilient ports organize those functions around a common objective: protect cargo flow. That means identifying which cargo movements drive revenue, locating the equipment and dependencies most likely to interrupt them, and establishing clear authority to act when conditions deteriorate. It means testing continuity plans under realistic operating conditions, coordinating with critical partners inside and outside the terminal, and measuring resilience not only by how quickly an asset can be repaired, but by how much revenue can be preserved while the organization responds. As cargo volumes grow and supply chains become more interconnected, the financial risk of interruption will increasingly be measured not by what is damaged, but by what stops moving. Ports that understand their cargo flow dependencies and act before disruption becomes congestion will be better positioned to protect revenue, retain customers, and remain competitive.